Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Islam Corner on ATP Radio. I am your host, Annie Cyrus. I hope you're all staying calm, and I hope you're all praying. And if you haven't voted yet, I hope you are planning to vote. We are there. The wait is almost over. I don't know about you all, but I'm pretty anxious. I always thought 2016 was the most tense election year of at least my life, but, well, I was wrong. This one is definitely more tense. It is by far, as everyone else says, it is the most important election of our life to this day. So hopefully you have all voted and you're all going to vote tomorrow. We all have to do what we need to do, and that is to vote. I figured since we still have about, 26 hours left until the last votes are taken in, I'm just going to do one more review of each candidate that we're facing tomorrow, being President Trump versus Vice President Joe Biden. Of course, there's a lot at stake. Do not get me wrong, please. I know there is a lot at stake, but I'm going to look at it as my point of view, or better yet, my fight, which is to always inform everyone of Islamization and Sharia. So let me start here. You're all familiar with the Red-Green Axis or Red-Green Alliance or Left and Islam Alliance concept. I'm going to start there. Let's quickly review the candidate's point of view or stance with that. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they have both very much made it clear, not once, not twice, many different occasions, they have made it very clear that they stand by the poor Muslim community that are being victimized, and they are being generalized, and they are being stereotyped, and they are being da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I think it's pretty clear where they stand. They support their fellow Democrats who are either running or are already in power, who are openly and publicly practicing Sharia. For example, we have, of course, Ilhan Omar. So imagine if elected. I don't think there's a doubt in anybody's mind of where they would stand. They would have no problem allowing Sharia to gradually take over our American laws. And for anyone who might have a moment of, well, what's wrong with that? Let's quickly review what's wrong with that idea and that image. Sharia goes against majority of our constitution. Under Sharia, there is no freedom of speech. Under Sharia, there is no freedom of religion. And I can tell you that is for sure, because remember, I'm an ex-Muslim with a bounty on my head for leaving Islam right there. I'm an ex-Muslim who has a judgment against me from a government for speaking out against the regime while they charge me with propaganda against the Islamic regime of Iran. Remember, there goes your freedom of speech. With that freedom of thought, there is no Second Amendment, there is no Fifth Amendment, there is no amendment, let's put it this way. There is no equality under Sharia. A woman is considered half of a man. Remember that. A woman is a property that her male guardian can sell, just like my father did to me. So that is what's wrong with the image of anybody ever considering being okay with Sharia, somewhat replacing our American laws, or think that it can coexist and somehow, you know, we meet them halfway. That's out of the question, but that's not the topic for today, so I'm just going to leave it at that. Now, on the other hand, we have President Trump, who, first of all, he has very well clearly shown that he will stand up to the left or anyone with the agenda that goes against America, Americans, and our Constitution. He's done that pretty strongly. I would say from the attacks and the accusations and the phony impeachment process and everything between, he has stood strong and he has not changed narrative. He hasn't decided one day I'm going to go with this and the other day I'm going to go with that. Yes, I'm referring to Joe Biden, who keeps changing his story of one day he's all about Green Deal, the next day he's not, and then, you know, fracking is good, fracking is not good, all that change of mind. We have never seen that from President Trump. You've never seen President Trump start from somewhere and elsewhere to fit the narrative of anyone, which I personally think is the American way. At least the America I came to, the way I was introduced to America and American way, was you decide who you want to be and you go and be that person. You don't let people dictate your way or sentences, and you love your First Amendment because it allows you to have the freedom of speech. And also, President Trump is the president who walked away from Iran nuclear deal. Remember that deal? The deal that both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris cannot wait to go back to negotiation. They cannot wait to make more friends with the Iranian regime. They cannot wait to give them more money so they can spread that money in the Middle East and create more terrorism. Again, please, if you're a new listener, first of all, welcome to my program. Secondly, go to our website, americantruthproject.org, and you'll see all the evidence you need for everything I'm saying today. As I said, today is day before election, so I'm not going to go too much into proof and evidence, but the evidence and proof is on our website. So, again, coming from Iran myself, it's not an unknown agenda to me. I've said it many times. The moment Iran was conquered by the Islamic Revolution, led by Ayatollah Khomeini, the first thing he did say was the fact that we are going to take down the great Satan, being America, and wipe Israel off the map. So I grew up with that mindset that that's the plan. Now I'm gonna connect this to the next point. Sometimes it might be like, okay, and they're gonna make a deal with Iran. We can deal with that, which we shouldn't be okay with it. But I'm gonna go for sake of argument. The sentence I just said was Khomeini said we will take down the great Satan, America. We will wipe Israel off the map. So either you like it or not, either you want to admit to it or not, either you're comfortable with it or not. When it comes to Israel versus Iran versus Palestine versus any Islamic country, there is a side. You have to pick a side. And if you don't pick a side, then you're cooperating with the oppressor, being the Islamic countries. Yes, I stand with Israel, just in case if that's not clear. So when you have a president, being President Trump, who goes and walks away from Iran nuclear deal, puts back some of the sanctions and tell them, I'm not going to mess with you. You try to make any threats toward my people and I'm going to retaliate. The bare minimum you get out of it as an American citizen is the fact that my president is willing to protect me regardless of consequences. So I am the priority. And also, because of that action, he is going to continue staying friends, real true friends, with our only true ally in the Middle East, being Israel. Remember, mainstream media will lie to you. Obama administration will come out and say the Iran nuclear deal is the first step toward further friendship with Iran. But those are all the made-up facts by mainstream media and Obama administration and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton and AOC. And I can go on for the rest of the day, but I don't have the time. The truth of the matter is our only genuine ally in the Middle East is Israel. Now, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have stood by every single anti-Semite in America. What does that tell you? Did they come out publicly and say we're anti-Israel? No, they're politicians. They don't do that. But as an average American, all you need to do is pay attention and read between the lines or just read their lines. When Ilhan Omar is attacked for making anti-Semite comments publicly, Well, she's supported and hugged and covered and sheltered by, again, all the names I just threw out there, including Kamala Harris, Joe Biden. You cannot say I'm pro-Israel and pro-Ilhan Omar at the same time. You see, it just doesn't, it does. I mean, can you say it? Yes, you could. But you know for a fact when you say that, you're kind of a hypocrite. Yes, the point I'm trying to make here is Biden administration has made it very clear that Iran nuclear deal is way more important to them than Israel or any peace deal in Middle East. Whereas, on the other hand, right now we have three Arab countries who have signed the peace deal with Israel. And that was under Trump administration. And President Trump has mentioned that he's not done yet. If reelected, he will continue on approaching other Arab countries to continue signing the peace deal. Now, do I believe that peace deal is going to hold? No. But what I do believe is, for example, let's talk Bahrain for a minute. Bahrain decided to sign the deal. With that move, Islamic Republic of Iran's regime got really pissed off at Bahrain because, well, Iran is the guardian angel of Bahrain. So now Islamic Republic of Iran has lost one of their puppets. As I said, I don't believe these peace deals are going to hold. I don't believe with all of this comes peace in the Middle East. No, but all these signatures, all these countries joining the peace deal is weakening the power of Islamic Republic of Iran. And I'm sure those of you who have followed me long enough, you do know that I do consider Islamic Republic of Iran's regime our biggest enemy. I have said it many times. They are more dangerous to us than Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all of the rest. So if we can do something to weaken their power, so be it. But I will repeat myself like a broken record. On the other hand, we have Biden, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris waiting and holding their breath to be able to get back on that negotiation table with Islamic Republic of Iran. Let that sink in. And for anyone, I completely understand the mentality of, listen, these are all great information. Some might be scary, but at the end of the day, these are all happening in the Middle East. I don't care. Let me remind you that 2 years ago in America, there was a list of 13 Iranian Hezbollah operatives here in America with hit list. I want you all to understand, nothing that happens in Middle East stays in Middle East anymore. Unfortunately, Middle East decided not to be Las Vegas anymore. Terrorism that takes place there ends up dragging the residue here in America. All the money that was handed to them has created more than enough budget for them to have their lobbyists here in America. We have active Hezbollah members in America. And remember, Hezbollah was declared a terrorist group by Trump administration, which is wonderful. Now, I have a feeling if Kamala Harris decided to go back negotiating, can you take a guess what would be the first term of negotiation? Because Iran's not going to sit there and say, hey, yeah, let's be friends while you call my terrorist group a terrorist group. That can't work. So I'm kind of willing to bet on the fact that one of their terms will be, oh, remove Hezbollah from your terrorist list. And here goes again the complete comfort and opportunity for Hezbollah operatives to come back and start doing what they've been doing. And again, just in case if you're not aware of all that information in detail, go to our website, americantruthproject.org, and look up Claire Lopez's videos, because she has done an extensive amount of research and videos exposing Hezbollah. Our dear friend who we missed greatly at ATP, Phil Haney, has exposed Hezbollah. There are many videos. Just again, go to americantruthproject.org, look up Claire Lopez or Phil Haney or just Hezbollah or Iran, any of those keywords, and you'll be amazed with the amount of information that's available. And again, these aren't some information of Hezbollah did something in Syria. No, these are informations about Hezbollah's connection to us here in America. let me move on to the next group that I want to talk about, because I do have Barry Newsbaum calling in to this program in about 15 minutes to give us some updates as far as the election itself goes. So I want to cover everything I have before I go to the next category or group that I want to talk. Let me do a quick shout out. If you have any questions and if you want to come on air and ask that question, you can do that with dialing 516-595-8069. It's 516-595-8069. All you need to do is press 1 and I will see you on hold and I will bring you on. If you're inside America and you haven't done it so, please text my name, ANNI, to 88202, and that will sign you up to our text alert system. You get all of our information on your phone, and it is for free. If you're outside of America or you're just not comfortable using text message system, you can sign up to our mailing list by going to our website, americantruthproject.org. Also, if you're on Blog Talk Radio directly, you can follow our channel, because this isn't the only program we have here. Mondays is Islam Corner, which I am your host. On Tuesdays, except tomorrow, we have Barry Newsbaum. And then on Thursdays, we have Will Johnson. So there are 3 radio shows a week on this channel. If you follow our Blog Talk Radio channel, you get notification every time we have an upcoming episode. Okay. So let's move on to the next fun part of, yes, I'm being sarcastic, but let's move on to the next part. Joe Biden has done campaigns directly and only for Muslims. I think I'm losing my voice today. From video campaigns to rallies, to speeches, to press release, all of that. Now, technically, I'm one of those people, just so you know. I don't know why we are United States of America. I wake up every morning and I consider myself an American. So I don't really understand the concept of campaigning to different group of people. I think that's part of the division we're facing, even from the positive side. Like whenever I see a poster or a banner or a meme or a picture of, you know, Hispanics for Trump, or Persians for Trump, or Jews for Trump, or Mashmamal for Biden, I'm like, wait, why can't it be Americans for Trump or Americans for Biden? Why are we creating this division? Okay, we want to end racism. We want to have equality. We want to be united, but we ourselves are creating this group of people. I was invited to a group actually on Facebook that's Persians for Trump, and I declined the invitation. So I said, I'm an American. Am I considered a Persian by race and an Iranian by nationality? Yes. But that has nothing to do with my decision as far as voting goes. I vote as an American. So I know I'm getting a little sidetracked here, but I'm actually glad I'm getting this out of my system. I disagree with categorizing the campaign. I disagree to do a campaign specifically for Hispanic people or black people or white people or Persian people or Jews or whatever the case might be. But somehow our society accept that, and our society apparently expect that. So I go with the flow. Now, I understand every candidate is supposed to reach out to a specific group of people. When Biden did the Muslim campaign, he didn't reach out to them as my fellow Americans. I will make sure your voice is heard. No, he did it with citing a hadith from the Prophet of Islam by saying, Prophet Muhammad said. For a second, I'm like, wait, are you like Muslim or something? Because you have even practiced your pronunciation of Muhammad to be so Arabic. And then he cited a hadith that basically makes a bottom line that Muslims are superior and jihad is all right. Look up, go on YouTube, say Joe Biden Muslim ad, you'll see the video. Or listen to my last week radio, I went into details. As an ex-Muslim, it terrifies me that we have a candidate who's going, who is going out of his way to reach out to Sharia-following Muslims and tell them that he has an understanding of their jihad and their system. See, that is when I draw the line. As an ex-Muslim, I am terrified. I know for a fact many of my fellow ex-Muslims are terrified comes to what's going to happen tomorrow. Because we are looking at a man who's going to cater to their jihad. And we are the first on the list. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. It is not a pleasant feeling to know that as an American, my voice doesn't matter. But a voice of a Sharia-following Muslim who's willing to blow us up is important enough to invest the time, research, resource, and money to do campaigning for. And this is where the Red-Green Axis or Left and Islam Alliance or any of that is pretty clear. I posted it on my page on yesterday, I believe. I watched the most recent movie produced by Dinesh D'Souza, Trump Card. I said on my page, I'll say it right now on air. If you haven't watched it, make sure to watch it. Take the 101 minute out of your day or night tonight and watch it. On that movie, on Trump Card, Dinesh covers the involvement of Islamic groups, including Islamic Republic of Iran's regime, directly with our mainstream media. Listen, let me repeat that again. There's a direct link between the Islamic groups, including Islamic Republic of Iran, with our mainstream media. They are directly being paid. I know we all know the whole story of fake news, but as mentioned on Trump Card movie, this isn't just about fake news anymore. It's fabrication. It's made up stories. It's cover up. It's a mafia. And the fact that, again, the Islamic Republic of Iran is part of it should tell you a lot. As I said, all you need to do is listen, read between lines or not. And you can easily tell where our country is going to go comes Wednesday morning. The stance are pretty clear. Again, before starting the radio, quickly I was reviewing it in my head. I'm like, wait a minute. It's somewhat even interesting that I have the desire to do this radio segment on this topic, because by now it should be super clear to everyone that where the candidates stand as far as Islamization goes. And as I said at the beginning, I understand there's a lot at stake. I mean, it's not just Islamization, but to me, one of the top three important issues is Islamization. Because as you witnessed during Obama administration, we had Muslim Brotherhood in the White House, in the Congress. We still to this day do care. The unindicted co-conspirator of Holy Land Foundation is still walking the hallways of Congress. That's another video actually we did with Phil Haney when he explained that over 100 Congress members have signed an endorsement letter of care. And CARE is also very much good friends and buddy buddies with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Back to what I was saying is it's amazing that because of mainstream media mentioned on Trump card, by now everybody should know, but they don't. They don't know because it's either being covered up, twisted into a different story, or just never heard of. So, yes, it's definitely proven that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will gladly work with Iran, with Muslim Brotherhood, with CARE, and everybody else in between. And I want to make sure that I'm very clear. Islamic Republic of Iran, CARE, Muslim Brotherhood, Ilhan Omar, Keith Ellison, Rashida Tlaib, they all have one common goal. And that common goal is to burn down America as we know it and then build back whatever they want to build back. Now, that's when the goal will be a little different. You know, some are after socialism, some are after communism, some are after Marxism, some are after Islamization or caliphate. Now, how are they going to figure out the system from there? Well, we won't be around to see it. Let's put it that way. But the first common goal, very first common goal, is to burn down America, to take away our freedom, to get rid of our Constitution. And it might be a question of why would they do that. I will depend on who you're talking. Our freedom and our liberty is a danger to their agenda. Well, you can't have freedom and Sharia at the same time. You can't have Marxism and freedom. I mean, that is funny to even consider a possibility of Marxism, socialism, communism, or Islamization with freedom is impossible. So, yes, Biden and Kamala Harris will continue making deals with Iran. They will get rid of all the peace deals that are on the table. They don't care for peace in the Middle East. They don't. They will work with Muslim Brotherhood, and they will work with CARE, and they will protect Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Keith Ellison, and everybody else involved within this whole charade of let's take down America. I do have Mr. Barry Nussbaum, founder and CEO of American Truth Project here. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on because he does have some really great information for us today. Hi, Barry.
Good afternoon, Annie.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
I went ahead and gave all the bad news I could because I knew you're about to come on and give us a little bit of better news. So let's get us started. You were talking to me today and you explained to me certain things that I really think my audience would like to know. The very first thing was you said there are certain key suing states that will actually finalize or determine the next president. What are they?
Yeah, no question, Annie. They're, in a nutshell, you have to get to 270 electoral votes to become president of the United States. You have to exceed 269. As of now, the afternoon of Monday, the day before the election, which is tomorrow, Real Clear Politics averages of all the polls presently show Biden and Harris at 216 electoral votes and Trump and Pence at a little more than half of that at 125. However, the undeclared states, according to the Real Clear Politics average, are still toss-ups. And if a majority of them, which I will be happy to review, go to Trump tomorrow, Trump will be president of the United States again. And I'll give you those states. The biggest prize is Texas, And according to even the liberal polls, 38 electoral votes will be won tomorrow by Trump. The second biggest prize tomorrow that's unaffiliated as of now in the toss-up column is Florida at 29. I believe that will go to Trump tomorrow. Then we get, as we move up the map on the East Coast, and these polls will close first, then comes Georgia at 16. I believe that will go to Trump. Then South Carolina is already in the Trump column, but North Carolina at 15, I believe, will go as well. And then we get to the true toss-ups. Pennsylvania, according to everybody on this Monday, is the prize. It's 20 electoral college votes, and whoever gets Pennsylvania will probably be president tomorrow. That's at 20. Every single poll shows Trump getting killed in Pennsylvania, except one, which I'll talk about in a minute. I predict Pennsylvania goes red. And I'll tell you the reasons why in a minute. Then we move west, Ohio at 18. Trump is up in every poll there as of yesterday. We go farther west. We have Iowa at 6. And all the way out on the west is Arizona at 11. If everything I just listed goes to Trump, he is president tomorrow with 272 electoral votes. Two more than he needs. I would also add in a very serious possibility in Michigan at 16 votes, and that would put Trump at 288 electoral college votes. There's also a long shot in Wisconsin and Minnesota and one in Maine. That would put him over 300, actually more than he got last time. Now, let me tell you the key thing that your audience doesn't know unless they're really, really deep in the weeds like me. And that's as follows. The reason why every single poll, except for the one I'm going to talk about, shows Biden winning is because they undersample conservatives, they oversample liberals, and more importantly, there's a phenomenon that has started to be called the shy Trump voter. In 2016, I was one of the few people that called the election for Trump. And the reason I did is based on my research, and I'm not a pollster. I don't even want to pretend. I'm an amateur in that area. And I interviewed actually the lead pollster for Fox News, who gave me a lot of grief for me being wrong and him being right, and Trump's going to lose, and here's why. And I told him, and I'm going to say the same thing now, except my view is at least semi-mainstream, which is there's a stigma in this country because of the liberal media that voters are embarrassed many times to say they're for Trump. Why? Because they get grief for it. So they're going to go into the ballot box, the ballot booth, I should say, on Tuesday, if they haven't already mailed it in or dropped it off, they're going to vote for Trump, and they're going to come out and not answer a question when the pollsters are out in front saying, excuse me, who did you vote for? Trump people, for many cases, will say none of your damn business or keep walking or lie, which is why the exit polls in 2016 showed Hillary Clinton crushing Donald Trump, and which is why every single media outlet within 5 minutes of the polls closing in every state called those states for Clinton, and they ended up going for Trump in many cases. So that hidden Trump voter is out there. And there's another thing to think about, which is if you look at the polls in states where Biden is crushing Trump right now, and you see these rallies, even on liberal news outlets or on the internet, Biden might be drawing 20 people in cars, and 10 miles away, Trump might be pulling 20,000 people in a stadium or standing in a field next to Air Force One. That kind of enthusiasm is building by the minute for Trump. Trump will do 5 rallies today across the Eastern Seaboard in these swing states, the toss-up states, the ones I just listed. And Biden will do a couple. Biden will probably draw a total of a couple hundred people, and Trump will probably address over 100,000 today. If you were from another planet and you swooped down and saw the enthusiasm and the people showing up in caravans, in their cars, and in their boats, and walking in parades, and showing up 5 or 10 hours early just to get a standing room only stand area, say in Minneapolis, you would think they were already celebrating Trump's victory. And why are there only 6 people sitting on a folding chair in a circle at a Biden press conference where there are no questions? You would think it was not even close. And yet the polls are deceiving you. And it's important for your listeners today, get off their tushies and go vote. Every vote is going to count because some of these states are going to be very close. So if you'd like, I'll explain why there is one pollster who's right and why all the other pollsters are wrong if you want me to explain.
It's like you read my mind, because I was about to say you told me that all the polls could be confusing, but there is one that is the most important. So yes, please.
Okay. I would urge everybody, if they want to feel good about the Trump possibility of being elected president of the United States for a second term tomorrow, they would go to TrafalgarGroup.com. It's actually, the website is TheTrafalgarGroup.com. So it's TrafalgarGroup.com. The reason why Trafalgar is right and everybody else is wrong is the guy that runs this polling company, Robert Kahele, figured out 4 years ago how to get the Trump voter to truly self-identify as a Trump supporter. It's fascinating sociology. The guy's a genius at getting people to come out of the woodwork and say, yeah, I'm voting for Trump. Instead of click or no comment or Biden, even though they were voting for Trump. And what he has done is a couple things. Number one, in some cases, they call up and say, I'm not going to keep you on the phone for 35 minutes like Rasmussen does or New York Times Siena poll does or ABC News poll or New York Times polls. I'm going to keep you on the phone for 5 to 6 minutes. And just tell me who your neighbors are voting for. Or tell me who your other families are voting for. It's very easy to say, well, my uncle is voting for Trump. Great, thank you, click. And he imputes that as a Trump support family. Now, with that kind of analysis and a short questionnaire, sometimes 1/10 the amount of time the other pollsters keep people on the phone, here's this morning's polling numbers. Ohio, everybody says Trump's going to lose. Trafalgar this morning has it 49% Trump, 44% Biden. It's not going to be close in Ohio. Michigan, he is the only one to call Michigan for Trump as of today, and he has Trump at 48.3 and Biden at 45.8. The next biggest prize, North Carolina, everybody on Real Clear Politics, which is an average of about 10 polls, has it going to Biden tomorrow. Again, not that close, according to Trafalgar. He's calling it 48.6 Trump, 46.5 Biden. Arizona, which nobody is calling a win, they're calling it a toss-up, he shows Trump at 48.9, Biden at 46.4, and the last big prize of everyone is Florida, the monster. as of 2 days ago, Trump at 49.6, Biden at 46.9. So these are all the states I put on my list. Florida, Texas, Georgia, he didn't poll, but that's clearly in the Trump camp. North Carolina, Arizona, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. That puts Trump at 288 Electoral College votes, or 18 more than needed. So don't believe the news. Every station you're watching is quoting the same source, Real Clear Politics. And what they call their Real Clear Politics average. And when you look at the averages, Trump's going to get killed. I mean, annihilated. I'm looking, for example, at Florida. Here's everything they list starting at the 29th of October. Hill-Harris poll, Biden. Emerson poll, Biden. St. Pete poll, Biden. New York Times, Siena poll, Biden. Reuters, Ipsos poll, 4 in the column for Biden. Quinnipiac poll, 5 to Biden. Rasmussen reports, Biden. And only one on this list, Susquehanna, by 1 for Trump. So you've got 7 polls saying Biden wins. Don't believe it. I think, based on what happened last time and in 2018 on the governor and senatorial elections, Kahili at Trafalgar called it again, and that went for the Republicans. And I believe it's going to happen again. Now, here's the really, really, really big outlier, okay? You've got all of these states up for grabs. And in Pennsylvania, as an example, you've got New York Times, Siena, Biden, Reuters, Biden, Emerson, Biden, Monmouth, Biden, Insider Advantage, Trump, I don't even know who they are, NBC News, Morris Poll, Biden, Rasmussen, Biden, Susquehanna, Trump by 1, Trafalgar, Trump by 2. I believe one poll out of this entire list, and that's Trafalgar. And Pennsylvania is the monster. And the reason why? Because it's a toss-up, and whoever wins it probably wins the presidency, which is why both candidates are there today. So what you've just heard is what I think is going to happen tomorrow if the people who answered these polls, like I said, get off their tushies and go vote either today or tomorrow. Kind of a long-winded answer. Sorry about how long it took, but that's what I believe.
Oh, please don't apologize. I love when you explain it because, again, I see all day long on social media where people are very confused. I have a few friends calling me saying, hey, Annie, I'm very scared. Polls are looking bad. And that's because nobody explains it. When you explain that, at least I last couple of days I had meltdowns and you managed to calm me down by explaining. So, no, please don't apologize. I appreciate you explaining. But if you don't mind, before you call, I was talking about something. And since I have you on the phone, being the expert on Israel and our relations with them, if you don't mind me running something by you, one of the things I mentioned was if – we have a Biden-Harris administration, one of the things is very clear to me, and that's why I want to know if you agree with me or disagree or between, is the fact that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are all about going back to make a deal with Iran. And two things that I think must happen, number one, is Iran's not going to make a deal with America if Hezbollah is on the terrorist list. So I have a feeling that will be a condition that they will request. And again, I have a feeling that Biden-Harris administration would have no problem removing Hezbollah from the list. And the second thing is, as you know and as I know, Iran's regime is very upset with the fact that Bahrain has signed the deal, the peace deal with Israel. That will also be a condition. So to wrap up the question into a more proper question, my feeling is Biden-Harris administration is going to rewrite everything that Trump administration has done with these peace signatures and deals in Israel and give all the power back to Iran's regime. What's your take on that?
I couldn't have said it better. Remember, Biden is partially running on the Obama-Biden record of 8 years of appeasement of Iran. And it's very difficult to go back on your own personal history and say, oh boy, I really, really messed this up. We, meaning Obama and I, Biden, gave $1 billion+ to Iran and then flew them pallets of cash to release hostages and then turned our back on our best ally in the Middle East, Israel, by encouraging Iran to do whatever they wanted, because as Biden promised with Obama, there would be anytime inspections, they would be without notice, they would go into all of the Iran nuclear sites and inspect to make sure there wasn't enhancement. They would incentivize Iran not to support terror. Every single promise turned out to be a lie. It kind of reminds me of that very famous statement when Obama was pushing Obamacare, and he said, if you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. If you like your doctor, you'll be able to keep your doctor. I promise. Both of those were lies. And in fact, you got taxed a penalty on your tax return if you were not opting into Obamacare. So it wasn't just a choice, it was an extreme penalty if you didn't play the game, according to them. The Iran deal is worse. Insurance, a lack thereof, or not being able to afford it, isn't spreading terror around the world, although it might be terror in your living room when you don't have insurance for your kids or your spouse. But quite frankly, Iran took the billions we gave them and invested it in terror. What did Trump do? Tore the deal up, applied sanctions, and then magnified the sanctions till the entire economy in Iran is ready to collapse. They are desperate in Iran for Western trade and cash. And they are counting the seconds until tomorrow night when they can reach out to President-elect Biden and say, we're back, let's make a new deal, we love you, we'll promise whatever you want, and you'll give us whatever we ask for. Unfortunately, if Biden were to win, that's what would happen. We would be back in the deal, and they would be off to the terror Olympics yet again. And that, to me, is terrifying. So, yeah, you're right.
Exactly.
Iran is, they're rooting big time in Iran. The mullahs especially, at the very top from the Grand Ayatollah on down, for a Biden victory.
Exactly. And now if you could actually elaborate on why that is such a big danger to Israel.
Well, a nuclear power is like a loaded gun. The question is, will the person or entity holding that gun use it? Right? When you have somebody that wants to just defend their house, I'm not worried. I'm not going to break into their house, so I'm not going to get shot. However, if a person has a gun and says, I'm coming to your house, kill you, and then they tell everybody they're coming to kill you, and they put it on the news every day they're coming to kill you, and they paint it on the side of buildings they're coming to kill you, and they paint it on the missiles that they parade up and down their capital in Tehran, start believing them. There's an old Israeli expression, when someone says they're coming to kill you, believe them. And Iran,
yes,
says they're coming to wipe Israel and all the Jews off the face of the earth, which is why Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, which is an Iranian proxy army, funded trained and supported by Tehran, makes insanely horrific statements like, we're so glad there's so many Jews in Israel, so when we wipe out Israel, we'll get to kill most of the Jews. And that is a statement they make constantly. That's terrifying. And doesn't it just shock you that the UN still deals with Iran, and Europe still wants to trade with Iran, and everybody still wants to give them money, and Joe Biden is so incredibly ignorant of what they are really up to that he wants to go back into the deal, give them more money, open up trade, let them enhance nuclear fissionable materials to make bombs. I find that unconscionable and irresponsible for a leader that wants to be the head of the free world. So Israel's terrified, which is why Trump ran for president in Israel, he'd win by a landslide. They love him there.
You want to hear something amazingly surprising? If Trump ran for president in Iran, he would win as well. The people of Iran
people got to,
love
if the
him.
People got to vote, right?
Yes, definitely. They love him. That's I'm glad everything you said, I said at the beginning of this program on my radio. But I'm glad you brought one thing up, which is they have publicly, for 41 years, they have publicly said the mission of Islamic Republic of Iran's formation is to take down the great Satan, being America, and wipe Israel off the map. And yes, it amazes me that 41 years goes by and everybody is tripping over each other to give them more money and deals and be friends with them.
I know. It just horrifies me. Europe is whoring themselves out as countries, turning a blind eye to the intercontinental ballistic missiles that Iran is building in contravention of numerous UN resolutions to the contrary. And the reason why, twofold, one, they want to trade with Iran because it's an untapped market. So their major international corporations like Mercedes and the oil companies and the aircraft companies and the car manufacturers and the farming implements companies all want a new market. And number two, as far as they're concerned, they're not a target. The missiles are going to fly over Europe on their way to the United States and fly over Southern Europe and hit Israel instead. So they think, well, you know, as long as they're not threatening us, let them wipe out the people we don't care about, i.e. you and me and our friends in Israel. It's disgusting. They are not our supporters. They are not our allies. They are not our friends. They literally just want money.
Yes.
I can't say it any
and
other
here's
way.
What makes it, here's what makes it even more disgusting. The fact that they are so worried here to do something to protect the poor Muslim community that is being victimized by us. But nobody's even trying to do something about the disgusting growth of anti-Semitism in this country.
Well, there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news clearly, Annie, is that anti-Semitism is on the rise because of the merger of the progressive wing of the Democrat Party with Antifa, with Black Lives Matter, with numerous Muslim student groups that hate Israel and for the most part blame Jews for everything. That's the really bad news. Here's the really good news. And the really good news is Trump is not going to put up with it when he is, as I predicted a few minutes ago, gets reelected tomorrow. That's my take on it. Because
Oh, I agreed.
Just like,
that's what I said. I said, if one thing President Trump has shown in last 4 years, for sure, is the fact that he will not let anyone on the left or Islamic groups, anyone bully him. He just won't take it.
I think you're right, and there's another point that I think we should make very clear. Every single American president, going back to Clinton, was obligated by law to move the American embassy from Tel Aviv in its temporary location, which I've seen, it's a monster complex, to Jerusalem, which is the capital of Israel, to pacify the Arab countries in the Middle East, most prominently the Palestinians. They waive the law every single year. The first president not to waive the law but to enforce the law was Donald Trump. And everybody in the world said it'll lead to catastrophe, it'll lead to war, there'll be slaughter, you won't be able to stop the carnage. Newsflash, the American embassy is in Jerusalem. Many other countries have followed suit, and many more are coming. And get this, peace is breaking out all over the region. Sunni countries are lining up to make peace and to trade with Israel, and nobody's getting killed. So everything that was used to scare the American people never happened, and just the opposite. Obama got a Nobel Peace Prize before he was inaugurated as president on the hope that he might do something peaceful. He did the opposite. Trump came in. Peace is breaking out everywhere. He's been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize 3 times for actually making peace, but sadly, they didn't give it to him. Having said that, I believe very strongly after tomorrow, Trump is going to clamp down on the merger of the progressives, the radical Muslims, the communists, the Black Lives Matter, which, by the way, has nothing to do with either blacks or lives. It's a communist front group, which we all know is the case because the founders say it is. And they're not going to have the audience they once had. And good luck with the rioting, because the gloves are coming off after tomorrow, in my opinion. If, as I have said in this call, Trump wins, as I predict he will, the guard is going in everywhere there's a riot. And Democrat mayor, liberal mayor, progressive mayor, Antifa mayor, notwithstanding, he's not going to let Portland and Seattle and Los Angeles and Minneapolis and Detroit and Washington, D.C., be burned to the ground anymore. That's my prediction in regards to that.
I love what I'm hearing. We are almost at the end of our program. Thanks, Barry, for joining us, and thanks for giving us all this good news and analysis. We needed it.
Well, you're very welcome. Please, everybody listening, go vote. Please get your family and your friends to go vote. It has never been a more important election than what we have going on tomorrow. You will rue the day you didn't vote if things go the wrong way. Anyway, good to join you, and we'll do an update afterwards.
Absolutely. Everybody remember, Thursday, this coming Thursday, join our radio program as Will Johnson and Barry Nussbaum will discuss the result of election, and hopefully by then we will see that the predictions Barry gave us today were right on and spot on. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. Remember, text Annie, A-N-N-I, to 88202, and you will get notifications and everything else that we do at APP. As Barry said, get out there, vote, do your part, and don't forget to pray. Y'all stay safe and stay vigilant. Goodbye.